Rusty Quill presents The Magnus Archives. Episode 26, A Distortion.
Sure you're all right to do this now. You can take a few days off to recover if you need.
No, it's fine. Tim's getting me a coffee, and I'd rather get this down while it's still fresh in my mind. Besides, you didn't give Martin any time off when he had a bad experience.
Martin had to start living in the archives. I mean, I could hardly give him a holiday in the office. Anyway, he wasn't injured.
It's just a scratch, John. I'll be fine. Can we begin?
Okay. Statement of Sasha James, Assistant Archivist at the Magnus Institute, London, regarding...
Let's just call it a series of paranormal sightings.
Statement recorded direct from subject, 2nd of April, 2016.
Right. Well, I'm sure you know, I was sceptical about how dangerous this Jane Prentice was when you first suggested Martin stay in the archives. I mean, it's not that I didn't believe him about what happened, it just seemed... Well, Martin is a great researcher, but his self-preservation instincts are not the strongest. And to be frank, I thought that if this Prentice were a danger everyone seemed to think, then he'd almost certainly be dead. Don't get me wrong, I mean, I've read the same statements and profiles as you, so I know how many people have died because of her. What was it, 6 hospital staff when she was first admitted?
6 from colonisation and... A 7th with a broken neck from her escape.
But that was 2 years ago, and whatever she is now, it sounds like her condition is degenerating. I just wasn't sure how much damage she'd still be capable of. So I guess I didn't take as much care as I should have when I was coming into the Institute yesterday. The thing is, I'm still not sure how much of a threat she is. I've seen plenty of those silver worm things squirming about outside, same as you, and that made a point to step on them every time. What happened just made things more complicated, I guess. I'm not really sure what to think. I'll start with the first thing I noticed. I live up near Finsbury Park, and my building is old, Victorian, I think, and... Though it's been repaired and maintained quite well, it's got all sorts of strange little quirks. One of these is the windows. The actual windows in the flats are fine, but the stairwell, they have slightly warped glass, where the windows have those little bubbles. Looking down on the street below can be a bit strange, as the glass bends the light and distorts whatever's below it. I never really paid much attention to it until a few days ago, but it's not a new thing. It was the day before yesterday when I first saw it. When I'm heading down the stairs in the morning, I sometimes like to spend a few seconds looking out of the window at the people on the street below. I'll move my head so that I see them through the warped glass, and they'll distort like a funhouse mirror. It's a bit daft, but I have a pretty dreary commute down to Victoria, so I take my fun where I can get it. When on that morning, I paused before the window and noticed one of the warped figures below was off, slightly. It looked too tall. The limbs and body were very thin and almost wavy, like they didn't have any structure or bones in them. I couldn't make out a face, but it was the hands that were most bizarre. They seemed to be stretched and inflated by the distorted light until they were almost the size of the rest of the torso. Their fingers were long and stiff and seemed to end in sharp points. It stood completely motionless, and I could feel it staring at me. Moving my head to the side, I saw that the actual person I had been looking at was a large man with long blonde hair. He was neither stood still nor facing me. instead moving around the display of the flower shop opposite my building. Nothing about the guy seemed especially out of place, but I made a mental note to keep a lookout for him. I checked again through the bubble of the bended glass, and again I saw that tall figure with its limp arms and huge hands. Now, you know me, John. I'm not exactly the bravest person in the world. I generally avoid horror, and I tend to stay off roller coasters in the rare situation I have a chance to ride them. So I was surprised as anyone that this undeniably sinister figure wasn't causing me more distress. I mean, I was a bit nervous, sure. I've never had any direct experience with the supernatural before, and the more I looked and checked and double-checked, the more sure I was that supernatural was exactly what it was. To be honest, I was surprised how quickly I accepted that. I've always considered myself a bit of a skeptic, and until recently, I'd have said working at the Institute only made me more so. Anyway, I watched it for about 10 minutes, until the blonde man brought a small bunch of lilies and walked away. Once he was gone, the distorted figure with the long hands disappeared as well. I headed down into the street and over to the flower shop. The woman working there gave me a bit of a confused look when I asked if there had just been a tall blonde man in her shop. She said yes, there had, and no, she hadn't noticed anything strange. And was I looking to buy some flowers? I was quite confused myself, and on a bit of an edge when I left. I was already late for work though, so I decided to ignore it and just keep an eye out. Sure enough, it wasn't too long before I saw him again. There's a small cafe I generally pop into when I head to work in the morning. I love the Institute's building, of course, it's beautiful, but from a money point of view, I really wish it wasn't in Chelsea. Everything round here is so expensive. I generally walk down from Victoria Station. It's a long walk, but quite pretty, and it gives me a chance to pick up a coffee on the way. As I said, I was running late that morning, so I was a bit conflicted about whether to get one, but as I looked in the window, I saw a familiar figure at one of the corner tables. Again, the blonde guy wasn't looking in my direction, nor did he seem to give any indication that he was aware of my existence. He was there, though, and I was on the verge of walking in and confronting him when I noticed the time and decided getting to work was more important. Besides, what's that old saying? Once is happenstance, twice is coincidence, three times is enemy action. I decided that if he turned up a third time, then I would ask him something. I don't really know what I was planning to ask him. Are you secretly a monster? Probably would have been a great opener. When I got here, I realised I needn't have worried so much about the time. You were having some argument with Tim about, who's that architect he's obsessed with?
Robert Smirk.
Yeah, that's the one. So I was starting to regret not getting a coffee and talking to tall, blonde and monster, since it didn't seem like I'd have missed much. I got on with my work, did some filing, cross-checked a few statements with police incident reports. I mean, I guess I don't need to tell you what a day working the archives entails. It was a quiet day, aside from when Martin thought he saw one of those silver worms and we spent half an hour checking for it.
Yes, I remember.
Come on, it's not his fault he's being stalked by some weird living hive.
I know, but it would have to have been Martin, wouldn't it? I mean, anything goes wrong around here, it always seems to happen to him. Anyway, we're getting off topic. Why didn't you report this?
Seriously? If a member of the public came in, you would have torn that statement to shreds. No, I figured I'd get more evidence, or it wasn't worth mentioning. Nothing else had happened until I left work. It must have been about 6:30, so the sun was just about starting to go down, and I headed back up towards Victoria. The first thing I noticed out of the ordinary was that the cafe was still open. Normally they shut up about 6:00, but the lights were on and the door was open. I couldn't see anyone behind the counter, though, and there was only one customer. He sat there in the exact same position he'd been in that morning, drinking what could easily have been the exact same coffee. I looked around to see if there was anyone else who could confirm what I was seeing. The street was empty, but as I looked, a car drove past. In the curving glass of its tinted windows, I saw him there. The weird, distorted body, rail thin and limp. The hands huge and sharp. And then the car passed on, and I turned back to see a normal-looking man. But now, for the first time, he was looking at me. He gestured to the chair across from him, clearly inviting me inside. I don't know why I wasn't more scared going in there, but I wasn't. My curiosity apparently conquered my nervousness. He didn't speak when I sat down, and I saw his coffee cup was empty. Whatever was inside had dried up hours ago. He seemed to be waiting for me to ask him a question. So I asked him what he was. He laughed at this, the first sound I'd heard him make, and it sounded unnatural, like he was laughing very quietly, but someone had turned up the volume so I could hear it. He said it didn't matter what he was, that he couldn't describe it even if he wanted to. What was the phrase he used? How would a melody describe itself when asked? This put my back up a bit, to be honest, and I told him if he was going to talk in cheap riddles, I was just going to leave. He actually apologised. Told me I could call him Michael. I didn't want to call him Michael. It didn't seem to fit somehow, and the way he said it made me think that it definitely was not his name. Still, it wasn't like I had any other name for him. No, not for him. For it. It sat there, clearly waiting for me to ask another question, so I did. I asked it what it wanted and was told that it wanted to help.
Help? With what?
That's what I said. Did it want to stop Jane Prentice? It laughed that weird laugh again and told me that I had no idea what was really going on. It didn't sound like it had any intention of telling me, though. It just seemed like it was amused by my attempts to understand. Then it said it didn't care if I or my companions lived or died, but that the flesh hive was always rash. It said it wanted to be friends. When it said that, it put its hand in mine, and it may have looked like a human hand, but it was heavy. It felt like a wet leather bag full of heavy stones. Sharp stones.